To dream means to wish. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Our instant inspiration, to dream means to wish. I dream of Jeannie. That's the television show. And it was just full of wishes, wishes, wishes. But there it came true, because this Jeannie was able to make all these things happen. But that was another one. Yeah.
Samantha.
Sylvie was wiggling her nose and saying, that was Jeannie. No, that's Samantha. That's right. We got to keep these witches all lined up right. Now, interesting that we call them witches, isn't it? Because they're using a power that we have not yet learned how to exercise. And so we call them witches. We call them evil. We call them bad. In fact, the Salem witch trials were held to take care of women who did things like that. And what a bunch of idiots, you know. If they really had angels there, not witches, but if they really had angels there who could do those things and heal people and help people, and then they wanted to kill them, quite likely there were some undercurrents going on there that we don't know about. Some woman didn't give up her favors to some man, and so he called her a witch and had her done up so that his wife wouldn't know that he had tried to approach her. You see, many times false accusations are made against people for reasons that are not apparent on the surface. And to dream means to wish. So if we're going around dreaming that we could have these wonderful things taking place, and what we're really saying is, I wish it would take place, I wish it could be, I wish it were, and it would be so nice if it were. But we just heard the thesis by Andrew Aiken down in Ghana in Africa, and his thesis on the Song of the Spirit, his graduate work, was rather outstanding. Not only the illustrations he used, the words that he used, but the concepts that he used, and the whole feeling that he used. I would really like to go someplace sometime and listen to them speak instead of me always speaking. I don't mind speaking. I love to talk. But if he speaks like he writes, he is a most amazing man. In fact, a lot of our ministers are very amazing, but whenever I go there, they want me to speak, which is understandable. But I should really get a tape of their talks or something like that, so at least I can hear it or see how they function in front of an audience. But we are so accustomed to dreaming. We're so accustomed to wishful thinking. And what do you want to be when you grow up, we start saying to little children. Well, we don't say, what do you want to be? What are you going to be when you grow up? And so they say, I am going to be this or that. And now, what do you want to be? Oh, I'd like to be a witch. I'd like to be a genie. I'd like to be a wizard. I'd like to be in King Arthur's court and be Merlin, the magician, in King Arthur's court and do all those neat things. Wouldn't it be great? Wow, you know, to be able to do all that stuff. But, you know, all the stories you hear about wizards, and you hear these stories about magicians and things like that, what are they usually doing? They're working with their experiments. They're working with their incantations. They're working with the things that they're learning, and they're practicing. And some of the things, they don't work, so they don't write that down. They only write down the incantations that work. So we think that these are incantations that are secret and very strange and occult and stuff like that, but they're not. They're just very ordinary type thing, and you merely have to know how to speak your word. Like abracadabra, now that certainly is a witchly type word or a wizard type word. It means abracadabra, open door, you know. Well, now, why not? Why not? Speak to the law using some term that means something to you. Abracadabra. Now, maybe he had a friend named Abracadabra who would go behind the door and open it for him when he says, abracadabra, door open. And so the door would open when Abracadabra heard him say, "Door open." And so then he would be before these people, and these people would hear him say that and see the door opening, and they'd say, "Wow, he's good." They wouldn't stop to think that he had Abracadabra behind the door opening it. Well, now, the day comes when Abracadabra is not there. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Abracadabra, open," and the door opens because he just expects it with all of his heart and soul and being, and it opens. Mm-hmm. And this is how, so to speak, miracles happen. This is what turns wishes from something unfulfilled to something fulfilled. And, you know, it's not bad having an abracadabra to open the door for you when you say, "Abracadabra, open the door." But they do a lot of things. They do a lot of things, and they do a lot of wonderful projects. I'm not recommending that we become wizards, like, what is his name?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter spent a lot of his time violating the rules of his organization, of the school that he went to. And I didn't think that was too cool. It was teaching bad ethics to the children. But then again, if that's the only thing that they learn bad ethics from, I guess that's not the worst thing in the world. Although it certainly is a bestseller. It certainly is a bestseller. Made that woman into a very wealthy lady. Bless her heart. Her creative imagination deserved every penny she got, and is going to get. She's still getting much, much more with her new books that she's creating, and she's having fun. She's like a Michelangelo. The money is great, but the ability to write and the desire to write, it just goes on and on and on. And this is beautiful. This is beautiful. You see, now that's not wishing. She's not wishing that she could be wealthy. She's just wishing she could get a book published. And so she got behind it, and she brought it in to people who would publish it. And she found someone who would publish it. Now, Richard Bach, with Jonathan Livingston Seagull, he tried for 7 years to have it published, and nobody cared for it. He said, "It's a dumb book." And it was a dumb book, because people didn't see what the real story was behind it. And then one young lady saw what was right behind it. She said, "I'll publish it." And she did. And the book became a bestseller. Not immediately. It had to be on the market for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it took off. All of a sudden, somebody got the message. And it became a bestseller several times. I think over the period of years, it was a bestseller maybe 5 or 6 times at different times. But this is beautiful. Now, Richard Bach, he didn't care. He took an investor, a financial counselor, and gave him all his money and said, "Invest it." And the financial counselor invested it, and he came up to Richard after a while, and he said, "Richard, you're broke." And Richard said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I invested your money, and it went flat, you know." Well, now, that shook him up, because, you know, he'd been living mighty high with all the money he had. But it didn't bother him. He just went right on writing, and he wrote the sequel. What was that?
The sequel?
Yes.
Illusions.
Illusions. Had nothing to do with Jonathan, did it? Mm-hmm. But it was a sequel.
Yeah.
It was another step into a higher level of consciousness in a very beautifully intoned work. Very marvelous writer. Very beautifully done. And yet, he writes some stuff which is just a bunch of blah, and other stuff he writes which is great. I'm sure Michelangelo has painted a few things that weren't all that good, and I'm sure that he has struck a few pieces of marble that didn't all end up in Rome on display, and there are things that he helped to not be on display, I'm sure. But wouldn't it be something if Michelangelo had made some beautiful statue and he didn't like it, and so he took a sledgehammer and bang-banged it, and then somebody came along and picked up all the little pieces of Michelangelo's statue and sold them as souvenirs. And from the mallet of Michelangelo, you know. A lot of great musicians, they have composer, they have written music, and then the music turns up years and years and years later in the piano sheet underneath all the piano music, or in the piano itself, or something where it hadn't been looked at. It slid behind the piano in the wall. And they say 40, 50, 100 years later, they find it. They say, my God, here's something Mozart wrote, you know? And they do. And it is true. But to dream is to wish. And we don't need to wish. We put the cause in motion for reality. Now, Ellen was barking about, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And then she was saying, I don't care if people don't like it. It works for me. It works for me. And that's what we must all do. Find what works for us, and then work it and have a ball. Because that's what life's all about. So, to dream means to wish. And what do we say?
It is done.
It is done.
So it is.
Es ist getan. It is done. And so it is. I love you.
Amen.